Hello, everyone. It's Scott Tips again, and it is Wednesday, and it's October 24th, 2012, and I hope you are all back, and let's see how many people are on the chat line. Looks like a good number, so hello to everyone if I haven't typed it in to the chat line, but definitely welcome back. We have a special program today, but before we get into it with our special guest, Caroline Knight from the UK, I just want to mention that the One World Chronicle team has a magazine that's available now in Ireland and through its website. It's bi-monthly, and one really nice feature about it is a health section from the National Health Federation that is in it. So just go to www.oneworldchronicle, it's all one word, oneworldchronicle.com, and look that up and look to see where you can get the magazine. Anyway, just a brief little interjection of that here. And with that, I just want to say about Caroline that she is the executive director of the National Health Federation UK, and has been for a while now. And, you know, she really got involved in this in health freedom and in health, alternative health, complementary and alternative health, after having gone through her own illness and what she would call a Mary Goose chase with the pharmaceutical industry. And in the course of that Mary Goose chase, she discovered natural remedies, and it was in trying to use them and actually using them that she discovered also the heavy suppression that was going on. That is, they were trying to keep her from her right to use what she wanted to put into her own body. And that led her to a bit dig around, do some research, and find out about Codex. And she actually has a Facebook page that's called Petition Against Codex Alimentarius that she started. And I became aware of Caroline when Ian Crane introduced me to her and said, hey, you're looking for someone to head up NHF UK. Well, I have the gal for you, and she's right here. And then Caroline and I started talking, and it became very clear that she was. And she became quite an activist. She put on a conference last February 25th in London, at which I spoke, and she pulled together the whole thing herself. I mean, she had some help, of course, but she was the catalyst from inception to conclusion. And it was a wonderful event. I have to say, we wondered beforehand if it would be well attended, but as it turned out, it was very well attended. And it was at the Brick House in London, in East London, actually. I spoke for a while. Caroline was the MC and did a magnificent job. There were three levels of for the audience to be ensconced in, and they were all full. All the levels were full. There was great food served, and everyone, at least everyone that I heard, was very pleased that they had gone. It was frankly, a huge success. And so since then, she's been raising awareness through NHF UK across the UK. And she writes a column a quarterly column for Health Freedom News, which is called NHF UK Report. And she's reported on a lot of different things. She's also, quite frankly, the founder of her own natural health company that is very ethical, and its aim is to provide people with high quality supplements and superfoods at a very reasonable price. And it has information to help keep people healthy as well. It's called Knight Life. And of course, Knight is like the Knights of the Round Table. That's the way that's spelled. And it's a nice play on words. She runs energy workshops on health, physical and mental. She actually has some psychic abilities too, which we may or may not get into, but is especially keen on the powers of pure water and superfoods. And has many, you know, projects in the works, and you might want to stay in touch with her or get in touch with her if you're interested in helping out on any of these projects, especially with the latest one, which will be in the Brick House in London, the same excuse me, the same place where we had the event last February. And maybe we can tease some of that information out of Caroline tonight. Well, Caroline, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening to your kind words of praise. Thank you very much, Scott. Nice
well, thank you. And thank you for being agreeing to be in my program. You know, I have a list of potential guests that I go through, and you're on the list and have been for a while now. So I'm glad I was able to corral you long enough, because you're such a, you know, gal about town. Wow. It's hard to pin you down. And I'm glad it happened. So thank you for being on the program.
Absolutely.
And so what was, you know, remind me, if you don't mind saying something personal, what was that illness? You told me some time ago, and quite honestly, I'd forgotten what it was.
What was the illness, did you say?
Yeah, that led you on this merry goose chase through pharma and into alternative health.
It was an issue called candidiasis, which is an overgrowth of yeast in the body, basically due to many, many factors, not least antibiotics, and usually, you know, a sugary diet, some of the sort of hormonal pills that the doctors will give you, you know, contraceptive pill, that's a real bad one for it. So basically I was just asking for trouble, and that's what happened to me. I ended up with this nutritional disorder, which most doctors don't really seem to know about or acknowledge if they do know about it. And you know how it is. You're offered, you know, things to treat the symptoms, but not actually anything to look at the cause. So that's kind of the standard story. And I went through that, and it was very, very unpleasant. But thankfully, through my own research and hard work, I'm over that. But it's taken, you know, a lot of effort and time and understanding and patience, not least. So, yeah.
Well, the nice thing is that you seem the picture of health, I mean, since I've known you, and that's been over a year, almost a year and a half, actually, now, I think, and since we met.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a little while, actually. It has been. But actually, I have this illness to thank for my current state of health, because before that, you know, I was interested in looking after myself, but I didn't really understand that there was a lot more to it than met the eye. And it was through being really ill with that condition and starting to get into proper health protocols and following new theories and things like that, that I realized I could be so much healthier than I was. And now, you know, people comment I look younger, my eyes are whiter, things like that. Even, you know, my teeth are whiter. I have so much energy. I can't really complain that I was ill, because it's actually done me a huge favor. And I don't think people can measure just how healthy they can be until they've got to that point. They don't realize they're missing out on anything. You know, I think it's the norm to be sort of averagely healthy, get a cold now and then, headaches regularly, stuff like that. But, you know, it's not like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's funny how things work out. For example, I thought it was an utter disaster when 10 years ago, I was not allowed to be on the U.S. delegation to the Codex meetings. I thought, gosh, now I can't even go. But you know what? It was a good kick in the pants that allowed me to then go get the National Health Federation accredited as a INGO, an international non-governmental organization, on the Codex committee. And it was the best thing ever that happened to us, because if we hadn't done it and done it just then when the time was right, we'd never have gotten into that position where we could be speaking out at the Codex meeting. So I know exactly what you mean in that respect, at least. Yeah. It may not have been on a health level, but it's funny how the universe hands us really the tools or the direction that we need to really do things better and be at a higher level. And I bet you're healthier now than you were even before you had the illness.
Oh, wow, yeah. Absolutely. And it's true, you know, and they say that every potential disaster, or everything that looks like a disaster at the time is often not really. It's just a disguise. It seems like a nightmare, but, you know, later on you can see the benefit, can't you, to your life. And most things, I think, if you're one that learns the lessons from them, at least. But there you go.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Well, I noticed in your book, excuse me, not your book, your column, the issue before last Health Freedom News, how could I not help but notice, because I'm the editor, but you had talked a lot about local groups that provide food and the like. And I was wondering if you could share some of that with the audience, what's, you know, going down in that direction in terms of self-reliance and getting healthy food at a lower cost, and what you think about that.
Well, you know, it's certainly not happening all over the UK, but there are groups popping up around who've just quite frankly had enough, and they're sick of the suppression and the monopoly with supermarkets. And, you know, I think health freedom is still taking a bit of a beating at the moment because, you know, just to get something labelled organic, for example, you have to jump through hoops. It's not a simple process. You're not allowed to call products organic, even if you buy them from somewhere that sells them to you as organic. You then have to still certify them, things like that. And, you know, it's being made as difficult as it possibly can be just to promote healthy products. And, you know, we know that they're tightening the noose around, you know, health freedom and natural health in general, and have been for some time. And that's why we even go to Codex, isn't it? I mean, we know what's going on, and a lot of people do, but the more people are starting to wake up to that, the more they're clamping down on it, which, you know, is bound to happen. But as a result, you are getting more people who think, well, I've had enough of this, you know, I want to stand up and do something about it. So yes, they're creating little groups, and we need to do this on a ground, you know, what's a grassroots level, they call it, don't they? So people can get together, because it's all well and good having these small groups, but unless people start to join hands and really make a stand, it's not, you know, it's not a huge movement. But we're working on that, I'm quite sure, and it's nice to look around and see these things happening. But the group that I came across that I wrote the article about, they took over a shop front in a central place in Brighton, and what they were doing was getting food from wholesalers and donations and things like that, and just sharing the food with anyone that came in at a cheap rate, so they could get organic veg and things like that at practically nothing, or whatever they could pay. So it was donations, and then all the money was going back into getting more, just so that they could make it available to everybody. Because, you know, if you walk into Tesco's, it's really going to be difficult for you to find a local apple that hasn't been grown covered in pesticides and things like that. So their aim was really just to help people be healthy at whatever price they could afford, and that's a really nice idea. Needless to say, they got moved on from that, but they were hoping to pop up somewhere else. And there are, I'm not aware of all of them, but I'm quite sure, and living in Brighton, you meet a lot of people that talk about this kind of thing and are into this kind of thing. There's so many projects and little things going on. So it is still a battle, but we are winning it on some levels, because people are helping each other out. When it gets to the point where they can't, you know, you can't take on the monopolies, can you? You have to just do your own thing alongside it. And that's what's actually working, I think. So,
well, you know, what's so funny is when you were talking about that, Caroline, is that it reminds me of what Catherine Austin Fitz has argued for quite a while now. She says, for really to protect yourself from the even tougher coming hard times that are going to be tougher, that you really need to get a sense of community around oneself, and find a community of like-minded individuals that you can rely upon, whom you can rely upon, and whom will work with you, who will work with you to ensure that you all have food, you all have security, you all have a proper roof over your heads and the like. And she was real keen on that. And she was even saying, don't leave the country thinking you're going to go some other place that's safer, because you might just end up being all by yourself in a sort of a stranger in a strange land, and not with a community of people. That it's probably one of the most important things is to be somewhere where you have a community of people. And I noticed that about where you were in Brighton, because you really do seem to have a community of people there who are like-minded. And this, what I was getting at for those in the audience who didn't maybe understand, because I was a little bit oblique in the beginning, and that is that there was what Caroline had written about a couple of issues ago of Health Freedom News, was an outfit in Brighton that was like a co-op for food, but also for a depot for people who had excess food to leave there, and then for people who couldn't afford it, they didn't have to pay even. And did I get that right, Caroline? Is that the way
it worked? Yeah, that's right. That's right. It was. And the aim was to help whoever needed it to eat good food and not have to go to Tesco's and buy an overpriced pesticide-laden apple from New Zealand, basically.
So it's a shame we can't do more of that. In the States, I know, and I'm not so sure in the UK or Ireland or Australia, but in the States, they have these buyer's co-ops and organic ones, and you just join, and then you have a little checklist or tick list, and you tick off the items you want, and once a week or once every other week, then they get delivered to a central depot, like a friend's house, and everyone goes there and picks up their fair share. What they ordered, they pay for it in advance, and it works very well. Some of our NHF board members actually do that, the ones in Maine. And when I was in Maine, I saw how it worked, and it worked beautifully. So I think that's marvelous. Now, you have a website also, which someone was kind enough to put the web address up, nightlifeorganic.com.
And that's, I think, right, you night with a K, yeah.
Yeah, with a K, thank you. And I think you offer some, of course, not fresh fruits and vegetables through that, but you offer some alternative products through that too, don't you?
Yeah, I offer superfoods, actually, because, you know, although we can't grow a lot of them over here because of the conditions here, they are, you know, they're so nutrient dense, and you can get so much of what you would need just from one superfood alone. A lot of the time, you know, you could spend hours eating apples from the supermarket all day long and not get anywhere near the level of nutrients that you need from it. But the superfoods grown in places like Peru are just so rich in, you know, amino acids and nutrients. Whatever you need, you can get that from, say, half a teaspoon, say, Camu Camu extract, for example, so full of vitamin C. And they're natural products, you know, it negates the need for taking hundreds of supplements, because you can get such a great nutrition from just one teaspoon of something. So it's really worth doing. And until they start clamping down on the import laws, which I'm sure will happen eventually if enough people get onto it, because that seems to be the way it goes. But again, if that does happen, I'm sure we'll find our way around it. But I do think that is the way forward for me, because these are bio-friendly foods. They are food. They taste nice. There's if you live in Brighton, you'll see a lot of this stuff going on. There's somewhere like the Guarana Bar provides lovely smoothies full of superfoods, and you have one of those, you feel absolutely great. And I make my own smoothies at home with a lot of these things in, because they just taste fantastic. So good for you, and you notice your energy levels just peak very, very quickly when you take this stuff.
It is amazing what you're saying. You know, I used to be into the smoothie thing a lot some time ago, and then I kind of got out of it, and it's only been this year that I've started getting back into it with some of the different superfoods that you can put into these things. Now, what would you say comprises a superfood? What is a superfood for those? You know, we have a pretty sophisticated audience here, and they could probably teach me a thing or two.
Sorry, Scott, the line's cut out quite badly there. I've missed quite a bit of the question. Could you ask me again?
Yes. I'm sorry, Caroline. Yeah. How would you define a superfood, and what are some of your top superfoods that you would recommend?
Well, a superfood is just basically something that's so full of nutrients that it's way above, you know, whatever you would find in a store, really. And it's just 100 times more dense with nutrients, really. I mean, it depends on the actual product, but for example, Camu Camu, that's an amazing one. It's just, it's the richest source of vitamin C available. I did mention Camu Camu already, but it's just, if you say, if you take synthetic vitamin C, it'll only stay in the body for about 4 hours. You have to keep taking it over and over. But with Camu Camu, you can take half a teaspoon and get the same level of vitamin C, something like 1,000 milligrams, I think, from the top of my head, just in sort of half a teaspoon or a teaspoon of Camu Camu. So that would be one of my top ones. I would say bee pollen as well. That's probably my personal favourite. It tastes fantastic. So you can put it in anything, really. You know, use it on toppings for breakfast or anything you can think of, or just eat it straight from the spoon. And it does so many different things, but it's full of all the electrolytes, amino acids, and nutrients that you need. But also it does things like dissolve fat cells and flush them out of the body, and it suppresses the appetite a little. So if you are a dieter or somebody who needs to lose a bit of weight, then it's the perfect way to do it, really, because you know, you won't have the food cravings and you're getting everything you need. It's actually said that you can survive on bee pollen for months and months, bee pollen on its own. I don't think you'd probably want to do that, but it's nice to know that if you've got a cupboard at home like I have, then you're probably sorted if there's a famine.
I heard if you do that, though, it gives you a buzz. Sorry.
I can always rely on you for a good joke, Scott.
I couldn't resist, but I have to say, no, I'm a firm believer in bee pollen also, because for people who have allergies, it's excellent. And then I remember British troops during the Second World War, when they were wounded, like in Burma, in Malaysia, whatever, they'd have these god-awful wounds and they would get infected. And they found that by putting bee pollen in there, it helped clean them out, and they didn't have to have their legs amputated. They saved full function of their legs, at least to the extent it wasn't hurt by the injury itself. It was really incredible. I remember learning that when I was like 12 years old from reading a book about it. And it stuck in my mind so much. I said, I've got to remember this. Anyway.
The list goes on with bee pollen, but I think one of the other main ones, I mean, I won't hijack the whole conversation with superfoods, but there's another great one to mention, which is chia seeds. They're fairly new in popularity, but chia is the Mayan word for strength, and it's also called Indian running food because they used to use
it for a while. It's called what?
It's been nicknamed the Indian running food because it gives a massive
Indian running food.
Yeah, and it increases endurance and the ability to exercise further. So it's pretty.
Does it make you run to the toilet or something? Is that?
Does it make you run where? Sorry.
Run to the loo. The Indian running food.
It's good to know that if I ever needed to, I have that in the cupboard too.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's got 2 times the protein of any other seed or grain, 5 times the calcium of milk. People don't think of it in those terms, but it's twice the potassium of bananas. And it's just seeds that you can throw on your breakfast, you know, like a tablespoon, or make a gel with it. It's amazing stuff. Tastes nice. Can't recommend it enough. So I supply things like that now. You know, you could go mad and try and supply everything, but these are the things that I find the most beneficial, so as not to overwhelm people with choice. I think it's best to just have the select ones that, you know, are the top dollar, I guess.
Okay. Well, so you do these drinks, and were those what helped get you over your illness and your problems with health that you had earlier?
Well, you know, at the time I had that illness, I wasn't really okay with superfoods, but I would say that there's certain supplements that I'd taken which definitely helped and kept things under control. But it's a real combination of that and diet and the water that you drink. You know, we don't think of things like that a lot of the time. but it took me quite a long time to fully recover from it. I was keeping it under control, but I'm now fully recovered. And I know that I am because I can eat. Not that I ever do want to eat refined sugars, but, you know, times like birthdays or whatever, you might want to eat a bit of cake. I could never do anything like that before. Now I can, if I want, I can eat stuff like that. I tend not to, for obvious reasons.
Right.
Well, but I know I'm okay now, so.
Well, I'm a firm believer that you should, no one should be, unless you medically have to be, should be a fanatic about any food item. Now, if it's a medical requirement, that's one thing, but I think, but I do think that there's some psychic benefits from foods, even if they aren't completely healthy for you, from time to time, and you don't overdo it. So, there's no need to be a fanatic about things like that.
No, none of us are saints, and I don't think it's realistic in the world that we live in to, you know, expect to be 100%, you know, on everything all of the time. It's not convenient, but. And I don't think, if you're a healthy person, I don't think it does you any harm to indulge now and then, you know, with a beer or whatever you want to do. If you're a healthy person, you cope with it a lot better. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me, a couple of the listeners have asked some questions like, do you need to soak the chia seeds before you eat them, or how do you do that?
No, actually, what happens with chia seeds is they form a gel very, very quickly. So if you put, I don't know the exact ratio, but you can find it on the internet. I think it's sort of one part chia seeds to two parts water, something like that. If you put a jar of chia seed out and fill it with water, they will form a gel which you can mix up, and within 10 minutes you've got this gel, and you can put that into smoothies or just eat it from the spoon. I actually like it. Yeah. It's got quite a nice consistency. Mm. So you can't soak them as such, but they will form a gel. So that's one way to do it, and put them into more recipes, or you can just eat them straight from the spoon. Personally, I prefer to keep the gel in the fridge. It keeps for about 6 weeks when you've made it. It's good stuff, yeah.
Well, when I remember when I was growing up and I was, 8, 10 years old, they used to have these late night television commercials, and it would always be for Chia Pet, and you'd water it, and then, you know, it was shaped like a cow or a cat or a dog or a frog or something, and then all this greenery would grow out of it. And little did I suspect back then that you were, you know, years later, decades later, I would be eating the stuff myself directly. I thought it was some sort of joke, you know, very plasticky kind of product. And here it turns out to be one of the best sources of non-animal omega-3s. And,
that's right. It's copious amounts of omega-3 and omega-6. So all the essential fatty acids you need, really, you can get that. It's got more, it's 3 times more iron than spinach. There you go as well.
And hopefully a good kind of iron. Hopefully a good kind of iron. I mean, that's good for, you know, women. I'm not so good. Sure, I need that much iron, but I guess
that's it.
Might
it. I mean,
be
you
all
have
right.
to. Your personal constitution. You have to know what works for you in terms of nutrients as well.
True.
I think most people could benefit from it.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's just, you know, I've been on this big thing for a while yet that men who've reached maturity really don't need iron supplementation. Of course, you get it naturally in your diet, and there are things you can do like drinking red wine that will help chelate out the iron. But by the time a man's about 50 years old, he will have 2, maybe 3 times as much iron in his system as a woman of the same age. And iron is very pro-oxidant. Cancer cells need it to grow and spread. Viruses need it to spread. And so women can handle it because of their monthly periods. But for a man, really need to avoid iron, or if they're eating red meat or something, they need to drink a glass of red wine with it, because it will chelate out the iron 130%. Actually means it's chelating out some of the stored iron as well. But if you drink a beer with that red meat, then it helps it absorb better. So,
Well, nobody wants to moan about drinking red wine most of the time, but for those that do, they can always take a resveratrol supplement, can't they?
You're absolutely right. And that's an excellent point. You're absolutely right. So what other, you know, if you have to key in on any particular health discovery that is most beneficial, what would you say that would be?
The lines are cutting out again there. What was the question if I?
What other health, either foods or supplements or practices, you think benefit the listeners out there?
Well, I'm obviously going to go with the controversial take here on distilled water. And okay. I know that is something that doesn't go down well with everybody because, you know, there's a lot of what I consider to be disinformation out there on the subject. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're looking at the mass suppression that goes on over the natural health industry, it figures that something that is so simple and cheap to make a person healthy is going to be suppressed because they've done it with things like colloidal silver and vitamin C. You know, there's many suppressed supplements, and generally the cheaper and the more effective something is, the more likely they are to try and ban it. But because you can't really ban water, well, I wouldn't be surprised if it happened one day, but we haven't done yet. Distilled water is a massive threat. It's a massive threat. And a lot of people don't understand what the different waters are about. We hear, or the general consensus is that mineral water is healthy. So we think, okay, well, you know, water's good for you. We need it. 70% made up of it. Mineral water will be fine. But actually, we don't think about the process that mineral water has to go through. And yes, it's great for plants. It runs through the earth, but it's actually picking up inorganic minerals along the way. And then when that reaches you, you're technically drinking dirt. Now, if you see what's in the bottom of my distiller when I've done a gallon of any water, spring water, mineral water, whatever, you will see that there is a pile of sludge in the bottom, and it's not pretty. It smells horrible. It looks horrible. And you sure as hell don't want that deposited in your joints. But that is what's happening. So a lot of people are not keen on hearing this news when they've been drinking mineral water for a long time. And, yeah, there's a lot of causes for arthritis out there. But as far as I'm aware, one of the main causes is the water that people are drinking. You know, encase the cells and the glands with a layer of calcification, which is then very tough for the cells to operate through. So the way that distilled water works is that it has a negative ionic charge, whereas inorganic materials have a positive ionic charge. And in the law of electrons and what have you, I think we know that it's going to attract, if it's negative, the positive ions. And it's going to repel other negative ions, which is obviously an organic material. Mm-hmm. So when they say to you that this water is going to leach from your system all the minerals in your body and leave you with low bone density and things like that, that's a theory, but it's a half-truth because they're not taking into account the difference between inorganic material and organic material. Now, when your body is full of that, the water is going to come in and literally hoover it out from the cells, from everything. And you wouldn't believe the difference, you know, in your skin, your hair, everything. We need negative ions, but we're bombarded with positive ions. This water is the best cleanse and detox I know. But it's an ongoing thing. It's not just used for detox. Anyway,
Caroline,
go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can I ask you then? So if I understand it correctly, and I have over the years, you know, distilled water and these other waters have gone alternately in and out of fashion. And so what I remember, like, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago, distilled water was kind of a big thing, at least in the States. I don't know about in the UK. But in any event, then it kind of fell out of fashion, and now a lot of people are coming back on to that again. Is it the case that the distilled water will just leach out the bad?
Yes.
The bad stuff and not the good stuff. Is that kind of what you were saying?
Yes, that's absolutely right. It will only remove, because it can't possibly collect materials with a negative charge, because it's negative charge itself. It doesn't work that way. It can only pick up things with a positive charge, which is just the dirt and, you you know, stuff that you don't want in there. So it will carry that out of your system. And as a result of that going through your cells, and I know from personal experience that you may consider yourself to be a healthy person, but there's always stuff going on at a cellular level that you won't have cleaned out unless you've used a product like distilled water, because a lot of the things can't get to the cells on that level. You know, certain supplements are going to help you have a detox, but to flush your system out religiously, which is what we should be doing, especially in the day and age that we live in, where you're just assaulted by environmental toxins every time you leave the house, never mind what you eat in your food. Unless you're a supremely conscious person, you're probably going to be toxic in some way. And now I started on the distilled water, and I had a horrendous detox for, you know, it took me a couple of weeks, and I was feeling really rough, you know, so like I was getting flu, sore throat, headaches, couldn't sleep, abdominal pains. I was like, wow, you know, I was feeling healthy before that. But when I came out the other side of the detox, I was just full of beans, and I, for want of a better phrase, but I did, I did a fast as well on distilled water, and I noticed that I had so much energy. I didn't even feel hungry. I was just drinking distilled water, nothing else. And I was running up the stairs, still doing my yoga. I couldn't do that when I was just drinking normal water before. So that tells you kind of energy level.
That says a lot right there. And does it work for people who have like psoriasis or psoriatic arthritis? Excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you've got arthritis, it depends on the type of arthritis, but obviously you're going to have problems with the joints, with calcification of the joints, and they're all stiffing up. Whereas because distilled water acts as a solvent, it will dissolve these joints over time. Sorry, these calcification of the joints over time. So if you look inside a kettle that you use distilled water to clean it, it dissolves all the deposits, and that. What it does inside the body as well. It figures that you put it inside, you know, in the car or whatever. That's what it does inside the body too. But things like sciatic, what did you say? Sorry, psoriasis, yeah.
Psoriasis, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the time conditions like psoriasis are caused by fungus in the body, insane as candida, and it will eat these toxins and yeasts and things like that and carry them out. There's nothing really that can escape it. So over time, if you drink it for a long enough period, it will solve most issues. But obviously, that is a massive threat to the pharmaceutical industry. So we're told that it's going to leach the minerals from your body. And yes, it will, but there's a difference. And so a lot of people are jumping on the fact that it does leach minerals without looking at that subtle point that you need to consider, which is basically everything.
Now, on your website, if someone wanted to learn more about it, is there an information page about this on your website?
There is. If you go to nightlifeorganic.com, there is a health tab, and under that, there is food and diet, water, etc. So if you go to the water tab, there are a lot of quotes from doctors and authors, and I mean a lot, so that you can see the amount of doctors and people that have looked into this and done studies on it and written books on it and the things that they say. And it will really open your eyes if you're not aware of this subject. There's also a video on there by Andrew Norton Weber, who is my American counterpart on the waterfront. He's been doing this for a long time, 10 years he's been studying this subject, different waters, and doing a lot of work in America. He's got videos all over YouTube of his stuff and interviews, and you know, I consider him to be a very switched on guy. There's a video on there with Lisa Harrison, who does a lot of radio interviews and what have you. And she has, it's about 2.5 hours long, but it is the most important thing. And anyone who says 2.5 hours is too long, I say to them, well, you'll go to the cinema and watch a Hollywood blockbuster for 2.5 hours, won't you? So you can put that sort of time into your health, really, can't you?
Yeah, that's really an excellent point. So, but what I see is people could, if they want more information, go to your website. And again, that's nightlifeorganic.com.
Okay. Yeah, and I've tried to put the information up there as succinctly as I can, because I don't like to overwhelm people with information. But if anyone's got any questions or, you know, wants to point into any other resources, then they should just drop me an email, and all the details are on my site to get hold of me.
Well, Caroline, what some of the people are asking is if they needed to get their own distilling unit. Obviously, they may get a little tired running out to the store all the time and buying distilled water. What would you recommend is the best water distiller or way to get it?
Well, I actually supply one of them now because I was getting asked so often, which distiller, where can I get it? I was becoming, tired of repeating myself. So I thought, well, I may as well supply them. I don't know why it didn't occur to me before, but the one that I find to be the best and that has the best reviews for reliability, etc., is the Mega Home in the UK. I don't know about America, actually. But I do know if you are in America that there is an organization called Waterwise, and they supply distillers. They were the people that wanted to reprint my article for their literature because they've been doing this for 30 years and they want to get the information out there about distilled water. So I know that they are a supplier of distillers, and if you're in America, they would probably be the people to go and see waterwise.com, I think they are. But in the UK, the Mega Home is the one, and you can get them with a glass jug or a polypropylene jug. The polypropylene jug is cheaper, but ideally it would only pass through glass, and if it's done in a stainless steel chamber, that's probably the best way you're going to get it because it has to boil. So you obviously need a stainless steel chamber. There are different ones out there that are made of plastic and things like that, but they're not as reliable. There's reports of them short-circuiting, things like that. So I would recommend the Mega Home, personally.
Okay. Well, thank you. I was just wondering about that myself, which one someone would most want to look for. And what they would suggest, or what you would suggest for that. So let's see if the listeners have any other questions. I know they put out some have been quite helpful putting out some links of their own. There's waterdistiller.com. A lot of our listeners are in the British Isles, so they'll probably look for local outlets and places to get that. And as Sean McGuire is noting with the fluoridation in the water, why don't we just send the bill to the HSE or Water Board, or claim it back through the small claims courts? Brilliant idea. And in any event, so we'll see. But the other site is www.waterdistiller.com. And they evidently have something called glass water distillers. But you are quite right, Caroline. It is a controversial topic, and it's something that, I know you've actually been kind of verbally assaulted because you've taken this position, and it's not an enviable, place to be on it. But
I'm used to it. I put controversial ideas out there, not to be controversial, but because I have looked into them in a lot of detail. I don't take at face value the first story that comes up on Google search, because that's death, if you ask me. You need to dig deeper than that. We all know that Google and Facebook and organizations like that are monitored at best, controlled at worst. There's stories now about the search results being tailored to each person. So what I search on Google will be coming up completely different to what you will search on Google. Now, that's not right. But if you use a website called startpage.com, I believe that's more private, doesn't report your findings, and will give you a non-biased result. So that's worth knowing. I can't remember what the thread was now that we were talking about. Sure. From blank.
Well, no. You were right on track, and really, it's just that you've kind of survived the, how do you say it in Britain, controversy. We put an accent on the different syllable there, so we would say controversy. But in any event, you've survived.
I just need to mention about distilled water, actually. There's a science report that's been churned out over and over and over again, and it seems to be this popular thing. saying that distilled water equals death. So the first thing you find when you search distilled water will be that it's going to kill you, which is absolute rubbish. I mean, they'll tell you the same thing about colloidal silver. It's going to turn you blue, which is absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, this one scare story that goes around makes people panic and think, well, I'm not taking my chance. You know, I can tell you I drink distilled water every day, all day long, and nothing but distilled water, and I am fine. And I know many people that have been drinking it for 30 years and more and are absolutely fine. But you need to dig a little bit deeper. So
would you say that if you drink distilled water, you need to be sure to add minerals to your diet, either supplement them or make sure you eat in a nutrient-dense way?
It's always recommended to consume organic minerals anyway, but it's not. You don't need to remineralize because you are drinking distilled water, because it's not clearing out the minerals that you need. But it doesn't hurt you to take extra organic minerals and things like that. Not at all, but you need to be sure that they are organic minerals and not rubbish.
That's a good point. Well, you know, especially with the water fluoridation going on all over Ireland, not in Northern Ireland, thank God, but in the Republic, it is, and in the UK in places.
Yeah, they're trying to take over the whole UK with it, and at the taxpayers' expense as well, aren't they? I know they're pushing for that. Hopefully they won't get that far, but they've done it in Ireland. So I think the Irish people should be the ones to know that water distilling is probably the only way that I'm aware of that they can fully remove the fluoride from their water. I mean, that doesn't help, you know, with bathing and things like that, but there are things you can do there. But water distillation actually removes fluoride completely from the water, and boiling it actually doubles the content, as far as I know. So I don't think that, you know, a lot of people are under the misconception that boiling water will kill most of the nutrients. Won't kill most of the bacteria and things like that. So it will, but it won't kill things like fluoride. So you need to get it out of the water via steam distillation.
Right.
And, you know, then you don't have to worry so much. But
yeah. Well, it seems like, as you well know, the NHF Ireland branch of the National Health Federation is working to get water non-fluoridated there, the public water supply. And in fact, we've just launched a campaign and this won't sit well with the Irish government, but to ban and boycott food products and drink products that are exported from Ireland because they have high fluoride content. We've tested the product. We see a lot of that there. And we just launched it with the last issue of Health Freedom News, where we announced this is what we are up to and doing. And so that
great
will
stuff.
Gather. Pardon?
I said great stuff. That's what news is doing. You need to kick up a stink. Yes. It's the only way, really, isn't it, to make people aware?
Yeah, it really is, because I don't, it didn't work before where we just spoke with the government. They could care less, of course. And so this is a case where we really need to do something more proactive and you know, bless their hearts. That's what NHF Ireland is doing. So,
and they're very good at it. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize, you know, what they're up against. And although campaigning and things like that may not always get the results that we need, you know, by petitions and things like that, it may not get the results we need from the supposed authorities on it. But what it does do, at the very least, is raise awareness so that the people know they need to protect themselves. And if that means changing their drinking habits, or at best, if they'll stop paying their water bills on the grounds that it's not fit for drinking and they can't prove that it is fit for drinking, you know, then that's one way of doing it. So that'll soon change things, won't it, if they don't pay the water bills.
Yeah, but we'll see, because you've been quite active. Thank you so much for NHF UK, and we hope to see more coming in the near future, especially once you get to the Brick House and you start working out of there in London.
Yeah.
And when do you start at the Brick House? Is that soon?
Well, the project goes live in February, but we're working on it now. And it's actually a really amazing thing because where I live in Brighton, there is a huge health scene here. You know, there's a lot of people open to it and trying to do good things. Still not enough, in my opinion, but there's a lot more of it here. And it's easy to feel that the whole world is changing when you look around you. But actually, it's at a lot slower pace than in other places. London has a bit of a health scene, but not anywhere near as much as it could or should, in my mind.
Right.
So what happened was the Brick House saw the first conference that I put on there in 2011, and they were quite shocked, but also, you know, they were pleased that they were made aware of the information. And then when we put another one on in 2012 with the National Health Federation, that just swayed it, and they realized that they needed to do something good. You know, they wanted to be part of the turning of the century, or, you know, the new age. So they decided they were going to change the whole venue into a holistic center, offering yoga, massage, and supplying health products and healthy food, organic food on the menus, and changing it all, really. So they asked me to come on board with that. And that means that they will now be they'll be serving organic food and raw foods, which is another movement that a lot of people start to get an interest in. Mm. There'll be raw food options on the menu. There'll be just generally healthy stuff. So even if it's meat-based, it's going to be free-range organic chicken rather than just standard chicken, things like that. We'll be running workshops and events there.
Well, that sounds great. We're running a bit out of time. There's one question
that
hasn't been answered yet, or asked yet even, and that is, how can you use hemp seeds to better your health? Do you have a quick answer for that?
I'm really sorry, but the question cut out again. You have to repeat it for me, please.
How can you use hemp, H-E-M-P, seeds for your health?
Oh, hemp's a great all-rounder, really, isn't it? The list of health benefits for hemp is amazing. But personally, I would make nut milk with it or something like that. You can blend the nuts and just put water in it and then squeeze it through a nut milk bag and make your own hemp milk. Hemp milk's amazing. It tastes fantastic. It's got this lovely nutty flavour. That's all we have in our house now. I don't do dairy, but hemp milk is the one thing that's always in the fridge. If you can't be bothered to make it yourself, you can buy it, but I personally recommend making it yourself if you've got time and effort. I mean, hemp is something as well. I throw a big tablespoon of it into my smoothies, things like that. It's really, really great.
Okay. Our time is up, and I need to hand the baton over to Sean McGuire, who's up next. And I hope everyone who's online will stay to listen to him. But real quickly, last 30 seconds, if I may, if you're in the UK, please contact Caroline, probably through her website or through the NHF. Just, in fact, you can contact us through www.thenhf.com and help work with NHF UK, please. Caroline can use the help. Some of you are actually even in Brighton, such as Lee. So please contact me directly. I'll put you in touch with Caroline, and we will go from there. Anyway, thank you all. Thank you, Caroline, very much.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we got you on. We'll have to have you on again as well and pick up from what's gone on with the Brick House and the controversy with distilled water and so on. So anyway,
brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you all. And
thank you.
All right. So we'll leave it at that. And then I will see. Oh, just so everyone knows, there will not be a show next week. I don't think so. They might replay something else, but I'll be in transit. So I will not be able to be online at this time until they can put me on a show from an airplane. Okay. Thanks, everyone. But I'll pick up again in November. Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye all. Bye.
Bye.